Praise God. That was a good hour. That was a good hour. Not even an hour yet, but 'tis a good hour to be in the house of the Lord. Who was here? Show of hands. I don't do this often. Show of hands. Who was here 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago? I hope you just Diane and me and a couple others. Okay, let me help you. We talked about Gideon and marching around the Jericho walls and all of that. And remember, but first off, I mean, there's the march. That's Joshua in the Jericho. The Gideon and the army, the trumpets, the torches, the jars, crackpots. Perfect. And I talked about, I began here in the beginning. That makes sense. Every time that makes sense, right? Should always start there. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. That is so clear. That is so deep for me. In the beginning, God. God is first. I've been catching some advertising for some sort of a in the beginning account of the creation of this world. And in the beginning, a microscopic speck. That's what they're saying. That's the thing now, is that this universe exploded out of a speck. Smaller than the eye can see. In fact, microscopic. It's smallest of small. It's an atom. It's just, and there, in the beginning, there it is. That's what everything comes from. Oh, wow. Well, you know what? They're close because, yes, it did start out of nothing. God created everything out of nothing. They just missed that first God. And God spoke it all into beginning. And yes, actually, it was even before a speck. It was even before that. There was nothing, and then God made it. And I believe that God would just then create everything out of nothing. So, yeah, it would seem pretty small at first. And amazing as it grows and grows. So in the beginning, God, but that's just an aside in case you happen to watch that that account of how this universe came into being. You can go ahead and agree with it and then just say, but you missed it. You just missed it. God. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning, God was doing something. God created. There's your first five words in Genesis. In the beginning, God created. God created it all, we know, in 6 days. And as I had said before, He saved the best for last. Yes, He created women last. We can get a big amen from men because we're so glad God created women. Otherwise, this creation wouldn't have lasted long. We would have wrecked it even sooner. No, it's just we wouldn't have been able to. Well, you know. And there we have it. So I won't go on in that. So, and God said, let us create man in our image according to our likeness. God created man in His own image. He created him both male and female. He created them, and God blessed him, and He said, it's very good. And we agree. In the beginning, God. God is creator. God creates. God creates man in God's image. Awesome. Simple like that. And it doesn't take very long in the story of mankind. Well, it only takes a few chapters, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. But we know it doesn't last very long that Satan comes along. God created us. And so we are what we are because God intended to create us thusly. He's the creator. And like I said before, if you want to know the function of a creation, you ask the creator. Amen? Well, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are created. We are created for God's pleasure. So He purposely made us with a purpose. And it pleases God. And that's why He said it's very good. Very good that we created man in our image. Plural. Holy Spirit, God, the Trinity is represented right there at the beginning of creation. Thank you for that. And in case somebody has an issue with it, you can find it throughout Scriptures. The Trinity is there. We are created for God's pleasure. And it doesn't take long in the story of mankind before the old tempter, the enemy, the liar, the destroyer, the devourer, that fallen angel Lucifer comes on the scene. And we read in Chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 4 and 5, but we'll stop for a moment because I ought to pray. God, we need to pray. Lord, we want to hear your word. There's so much here. And it is so good. And just as we were created with a purpose, your word has purpose. And it always achieves that which it is sent out to do. It never fails. Your word never returns void. As it said, but it comes back filled with effect, filled with function, filled with having accomplished that which it was intended to do. I pray, God, that your word would be like that today in us, that we would not in any way miss it, reject it, waste it, neglect it, see it as less than it is. It's more than we can imagine. It's bigger, it's better. I pray, God, that we would get it and then live it out, that we would come to right conclusions having heard your word today. And if your earthen vessel here could just be blessed, that I would bring it rightly and that people would receive it from me as it was sent by you. This is not mine, this is yours. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. The serpent, Satan. Chapter 3, verse 4. You can go there. I mean, that's easy. Go to Genesis. And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows in that day," I think that's how he sounds, just kind of growly. "In that day, if you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It's the lust of the flesh. And that it was delightful to the eyes. It's the lust of the eyes. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. There's some pride of life for you. She took from its fruit and ate. And she gave it also to her husband with her. And he ate. In case you fellas want to dodge that bullet and say, "Well, it's not our fault. Women did it. They were tempted. They fell and then they tempted us." It says, "And she gave also to her husband Adam, who was with her, and he ate." No dodging that. I've heard people say different things about that, but let's just simplify this. Mankind fell, man and woman together. Satan's lie is that we dictate who we are by what we do. Satan says, "If you eat of this fruit, then you shall become like God." The lie, what you do, determines who you are. Hence, there is no need for God. For you are God. Satan said, let's just get rid of him altogether. And so that's what he's been trying to do all along. And he wanted to take that place of God. That is the fall of Lucifer. Is that he wanted to take God's place. So that's what he does. His first thing he does. Let's get God out of the picture. How about this, mankind? How about this, Adam and Eve? You do something, thus creating yourself as God. No need for him. Man creates. Man is creator. Man is God. God is dead. No, he is not. That is a lie from the enemy, and it has been going on ever since, absolutely without fail. He wants us to believe God is dead, and that we are our own creators. We are the masters of our own domain, if you will. We are gods. How ridiculous. We are God carriers, so how glorious, as we are earthen vessels carrying the torch, carrying the light. Praise God. Remember, in the beginning, God. God creator, God creates. God creates everything. God creates man in his image. We are God's creation. But Satan would have you believe, in the beginning, man. Man is creator. Man creates. Man is like God. Thus, man is God. God is dead. Self-made. No. God-made. I'd rather be God-made. Just consider the gods we have attempted to create. They fall down. They need propping up. They need shining and polishing to keep them looking good, or they will rust and rot, and they are garbage. God is God alone. Satan would have you believe what you do determines who you are, but God says who you are determines what you do. There's an enormous difference here. Who you are in Christ determines what you do. The Genesis story ties neatly together with the account of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. You probably know that. You see how they're tied together. In fact, you see the three temptations: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Three times Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. You can go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. I mean, Mark writes like this. Mark, he just hits the ground running. Like the other Gospels, they approach the story of the temptation of Christ. We see in Matthew and Luke, the other two accounts, and it's not until, I believe, chapter 3 or even 4 that we come to that place. But Mark 1, boom. In fact, in the early verses, it's just like, and here's John the Baptist, and then here's Jesus, and you know what? And Mark is the gospel of immediacy. That's the way I would describe it. The gospel of immediacy. Chapter 1, the baptism of Jesus, reading in verse 11. And immediately, as he came out of the water, the heavens opened, and a spirit like a dove descended upon him, and a voice came out of the heavens. This is my son, whom I am well pleased. Do you see the Trinity? There it is. The voice out of heaven, that is God the Father. The dove descending upon him, Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself, there they are, the Trinity again, in case you hadn't caught that. But of course it's right there. And then bang, verse 12. Immediately, the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. The Spirit moved him, compelled him, caused him to be in the wilderness. For temptation. And after 40 days, he was tempted. Yeah? And the tempter said, prove that you are the Son of God by making these stones into bread. That's the lust of the flesh. He was hungry. It's 40 days. He was hungry. That's what it says in the scriptures. And after 40 days, he was hungry. Well, of course he would be. It would be impossible to not be hungry. In fact, he would have been dead if it was not for God. Keeping in mind, now, this is Jesus the Christ. Yes, fully God. Yes, fully man. But he was man. He chose to take off Godhood. And he carried only on in his manhood. Yes, he was fully God, fully man. But he operated as man. He suffered. He wept. He felt pain fully. He was man. God, I don't think God can be beaten and bloodied and left for dead. But man can. And what was Jesus' favorite name for himself? Son of man. He did not say son of God. He did not refer to himself that way. He referred to himself as son of man. He said, I am walking in humanity. I have been tempted. I have been tried. I have suffered so that I can rightly appreciate your suffering. Your trying, your temptation. In all ways, but without sin. But without sin. So coming back to that. So then immediately the Spirit takes him into the wilderness. And like I said, the first thing is, why don't you just make these stones into bread? What's he saying? He said, what you do determines who you are. You want to be God? Do this. And then I guess I will see you as God. And Jesus responded with the word. Because that's who he is. That's who he is. He is the Word. Then Satan said, prove you are God by throwing yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and command the angels to catch you. Yes, he's up on this high pinnacle and he can see all the kingdom of God. He can see it. And that's the lust of the eyes. And Satan says, why don't you just go ahead and throw yourself down and let the angels catch you? Because what you do determines who you are. Prove yourself to be God. Jesus responded with the word, because that's who he is. Finally, Satan said, if you will bow down, if you will do this thing, if you will bow down and worship me, I will make you God. That's the pride of life. I will make you God. Wouldn't you like to be God? What a thing. He's saying this to God. Satan is going to be God. I'm going to create you into God if you do. What you do determines who you are, Jesus. And Jesus responds with the word, because that's who he is. Yet even Jesus, in his humanity, was tempted. But I want to remind you of something that comes before. Before the temptation. There's 40 days. And what's he doing in those 40 days? He's just getting real hungry, right? He is praying and fasting. 40 days praying and fasting. But he's God. He doesn't need to do that. He took off that and was man. 40 days in the wilderness. And it says, and he was with wild beasts and he ate nothing. And he fasted and prayed. Now that's testing your mettle, as they say. Testing your mettle. Take you to another story, Matthew 17. You can go there if you like. Matthew 17, beginning at verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus. You remember the story about the demoniac, the demon-possessed young man. His father is frantic. You've got to do something about my son, Jesus. He throws himself in the fire. They chain him up and he breaks the chains. And he is just absolutely, he's too powerful. The demons are beyond us. There's nothing we can do. In fact, in verse 16 it says, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. And Jesus said, the only way to cast him out is with much prayer and fasting. Much prayer and fasting. His disciples hadn't caught that yet. They weren't there yet. They were not into that yet. They didn't get it. They just thought, let's just go out in the anointing. Let's just go out in the authority. Jesus gave it to us. Let's just go out and do it. But he said, there's going to be occasions that's going to be way beyond you. You can't do this in your strength. You can't even do it in just your ability won't be there. There's more. There's even more yet. And Jesus said, this kind comes out except by prayer and fasting. Verse 21. Your little faith, he said, your little faith, even a little faith could have moved a mountain, but you haven't been testing your mettle. You haven't been working that little faith of yours. You just came out and tried to do something and it was too much. You can't do this in your strength, but I have planted a seed of faith in you. In fact, when I created you, I put it there. I know it's in you. Your tiny little seed of faith must be built up, and then we will move mountains. But first, I have some faith-building exercises for you. You need to test your mettle. That's for us. You need to test your mettle. Remember, back to the story of Gideon. Before he went and did battle against the Midianites, right? The first thing God says is, go, tear down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father. Cut down the Asherah that is beside it. You know, the totem, that man-made stick god that they got there. That woodpeckers like and worms will eat. And that needs paint every couple, 3 years. Tear it down. Build an altar. Carefully build an altar. And use the Asherah as firewood. burn it up. Gideon was not quite courageous yet, even though God had said, courageous man of valor, warrior, he called him. Gideon, at night, takes 10 men with him for fear. And they do as God had said. This is a beginning. This is a testing. This is a trying. And he's not testing God's word. He's testing and proving that he's got it in him. Not him. He's got that which God has planted in him. He's got it in him. It is a faith-building exercise. And then at the end of this little story of his tearing down the altar and so on, his own dad gives him a new name. Good going, Dad. Dad had got it wrong for all this time. He's the one that built that altar. It says it was his father's altar to Baal. But his father says, therefore on that day, he named him Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal deal with him. Contend with him. I dare you. Now all of a sudden, Gideon is that man. Well, he's just tested what was in him. And he had it in him. And he can. And now his own father says, I dare Baal to mess with this guy. There's something about him now. It's a faith-building exercise. We know how it went on. And they did it with 300 men. And they conquered the enemy. And that was that. Saul is another example. Saul is anointed by Samuel. Samuel anoints the first king. Saul was anointed with oil. Holy Spirit. Became a new man. But it was in him. God had placed it in him. But there was already troubling signs because Saul was a coward. Saul was hiding. So we read in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 10. Samuel actually had anointed him and already said, has not God already made you king? He wasn't king yet, but that's what Samuel said. Has not God already anointed you king? So they get back to the city. And now Samuel is ready to present their king to Israel. And they can't find him. He's hiding. Amongst the baggage, it says. He's hiding. He's stuck in his baggage, in his past. Isn't that an interesting thought? You know, we talk about our baggage, the stuff that we carry around with us, all our history. And we hide in that. We can't do something for God because we can't. You don't have any idea of all the baggage. I just thought, well, that's kind of interesting. But there's a Samuel. He's hiding. Saul is hiding. And Samuel's saying, where is your next king? Your first king? Where is that guy? Hiding. Wow. He hadn't tested his mettle at all. Another story. David. Next king. He is anointed by Samuel. We catch David a little while later. Saul is still king, and here's David. He wants to go and check out how things are going in the battle against the Philistines. You know, he's just thrilled. I get to go and take lunch to my brothers who are in battle. Awesome! This is the closest. I hope I see some really cool stuff today. I got to see what God is doing over there. I am excited to see the work that the Lord is doing. And my brothers, they are kicking some serious Philistine. Tiny. And it's going to be exciting. And he's bringing them lunch. He's the caterer, if you will. I mean, he's got his brother's names written on the paper bags. And he's bringing lunch to his brothers. That's what he gets to do. And he arrives on the scene. And you know the story. I mean, hey, what's going on here? Oh, you have no idea. They have a Goliath. He's enormous. And he wants to battle us. And he has been dissing our God horribly, profusely, just disgusting what he's been saying. Well, go kill him, David. Go, what are you doing? They say, oh, you have no idea. This guy's enormous. This guy is freaky big. He's scary. Six toes, six fingers on each appendage. This guy is scary. He carries around a staff like it's a giant rod. I mean, this guy is enormous. You're nuts, David. We are not. We are afraid. just like Saul. Saul was in his tent. In fact, he is behind the scenes. He's not even near the battle. David says, well, so what's the scoop? They tell him, well, you know what? If whoever would dare to go and battle and kill this Goliath, oh man, he's going to get great reward by Saul. In fact, you get to marry Saul's daughter. She is, you know, like that. You're going to get that if anyone would be so crazy and so courageous and even win in a battle against this Goliath. David said, well, I'll do it. Because I've tested my mettle. How so? David says to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. And a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Do you see the metal testing? And I've never noticed this before. And I've heard this story and read the story, and I appreciate the story. That yes, you know, there was this lion and he attacked a sheep and I had to defend it. And it was crazy. But you know, I was victorious. There's something interesting here. I went after it. The lion's gone. It's got the lamb in its mouth. David could be saying, you know, thank goodness. I still have the rest, and we're all here, and we're good. Fortunately, the lion's gone, and he only got one. No, David went after him. He chased that lion down and killed him and took that lamb out of its mouth and returned it. And then he did it again with a bear. He says, I chased them down. See, now that's cool. Are we chasing down the enemy? When the enemy takes one of ours, do we go, most of us are still here, thank goodness. Or do you do a head count once in a while and say, hold everything. The enemy has taken one. We should do like David did. Chase him down and beat him to a pulp. That's just awesome. There's an enormous difference between self-defense and he goes on the offense. That's better than defense. Why are we waiting for the enemy to attack? It says David attacked him. He went after him, and that's the word they use. Attacked him. That's awesome. I love that. The difference is huge. David went after the lion and defeated it. I went after him and attacked him, and I rescued it from his mouth. And that Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. I've tested my mettle. I know what's in me. God put it there. We could do this. God and me, 99.999999% God, and my little mustard seed, we can do this. So what does Saul do? Hey, well, if you're going to do this, let me put my armor on you. I mean, you know, that'll help. This is nuts, but I suppose. Now, David is just a youth. He's a teenager, and Saul was a big man. He'd been to battle. He had his armor, and it was form-fitting. On David, it was ridiculous. It did not fit. They tried to put Saul's armor on David, and it didn't fit. You ever, you know, let's make some application there. Do you want to do it like somebody else did it? Do you think that you could, if you could just be more like Doug or Murray or Jim, and then you could do something for God? You got to be more like you. And if I can kind of emulate you and be more like you, then I can do something for God. And God said, no, it's in you. I've called you to do this. Be you in this. You and me. Really, God. And we can do this. Saul puts the armor on and David says, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. And what does he say? I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. He tried to walk in it, but he couldn't. It was ridiculous. The sword was dragging, the helmet was over his eyes. He couldn't even lift his arms because for the weight of it. He went another way on that. He says, I can do this, but not like this. And he and God went to battle and slayed the enemy. Such a thing. There are a number of occasions where God used ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things. And it's never been about our ability. It's about God's ability. God can do this. David had it right. God can do this. You can't. Jesus says, but we got this. We got this. I planted this. See, when I created you, I purposely put this awesome little mustard seed of faith in you. And with that, we can do it. We can do it. You were created in the image of God. You were wonderfully and fearfully made. God got it right. And when he calls you to do something, when he puts a challenge in front of you, a situation that you look at, you go, that's beyond me. Amen. It is. But you and God can do this. Absolutely. You can move mountains, Jesus says. With this little faith, you can move mountains. But you can't if you don't test it. If you don't learn to trust it, let's not go into battle untested and uncertain and then try to put on somebody else's armor. Let's not do that. We will fail. Let's not go in our own strength because we are not strong. We will fail. Rather, pray. Rather, pick up your sword. Learn how to rightly handle it so that when the battle comes, you're ready to use it. And it's not awkward. It's not clumsy. It's effective. You've got to start testing the metal, ladies and gentlemen. Don't wait till the battle. Get into the Word. Get into prayer. If you really want to do something, get into prayer and fasting. Oh, there's something that's hard. We have got to get there. Because the battle is raging. The enemy is roaring. And he is just looking to eat you alive. You, me, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. We need to be more like David and chase him down. Put him on the run. Amen? Amen? Amen. I just love that David went after him and attacked him and took back what the enemy had taken from him. Pray like that. I challenge you. I challenge me. I am challenged. I didn't even write a conclusion because I suggest you draw your own conclusion. In fact, go home and live your conclusion. Get into prayer. Get into God's Word. Test the metal. Be ready for the battle because there's Goliaths out there. There's lions out there. There's bears. Oh my. And we can whoop them all. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for that little seed of faith, so tiny like a mustard seed. You said, that's all you need because I planted it and I planted the right thing. And I built you. I created you. You said that. All things has been created by you, and nothing that is created was created without you, Lord. You are the Word, and your Word brought everything into being. And that would have to include us. And it does. And you created us not just okay or good, but very good. In fact, when you created man and woman, you raised the bar. Everything else in creation was good, but when you created us, you said, and it was very good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you created us very good. Thank you that you planted in us the seed of faith. Thank you that you created us with purpose and that it is pleasing to you. And I know we are created for your good pleasure. And may we please you in all that we say and do. And I know it would be very pleasing to you for us to get into your word, to get into prayer, to be in regular, daily, and ongoing fellowship with you, in conversation with you, in trusting you, and in growing in faith, and in testing the metal, and chasing down giants and lions and bears, and taking back that which the enemy has taken. Thank you, Lord. You create us like that, and that is for your great pleasure that we are created, and that's what we're going to do. And Lord, challenge us that we're not done here today. Yeah, the sermon ends and we say amen. We sing a song and we go. But Lord, that it would be ongoing. The conclusion would be played out in the coming days. And there'll be some of us who do nothing about it, Lord. Who just keep on living the way we've been living. We will hide amongst our baggage and be fearful. We will say, not me, God. You got the wrong guy. You made a mistake, God, not me. How ridiculous. There'll be some who will do it for maybe a day or three. Oh, I'm so often that guy who gets built up and challenged and then does it for a while. But God, don't want to be that guy. None of us wants to be that guy. Some of us are going to choose to be different. We are going to start being who we were created to be, and as being created thusly, it will dictate what we do. We are created for your pleasure, and who we are determines what we do. Lord God, show us what we do. We've heard it, and help us to do it. I would just never do this. Today, I'm not going to ask you to step forward or do anything too terribly conspicuous, but maybe you should. Because this is a testing and a faith building. And a saying, yeah, I've got that. I've got that tiny little seed of faith in me. If you do, and if you want to be one of those who's going to chase down lions, bears and Goliath and Satan himself, you who would like your name to be he who contends with Baal, that might be you this morning, and this resonates with your spirit, you just stand up with me. We're going to stand up anyways at some point. Why don't you just stand up now and say, yep, not going home the same as I came in. Not going to go home and do this for a day or three, but Lord, instead, I am going to commit to doing it because you created me to do it. I'm going to be that way. And Lord, if there are any here today who didn't stand up, well, in a way I say, thank you that they're being honest and they're not just there yet. I'd rather that than the one who stands up and does not mean it. I know you would rather that too. Hot or cold, but the lukewarm, the fake will do no good. Lord God, that we would be hot, that we would be intense, that we would be valiant warriors, in fact, courageous, and that we would set the enemy to running. There is so much to be praying about. There are so many needs, but we have relaxed. We have sat back. Ah, Lord, that we would look again to the battle. Lord God, help us to test our mettle, to prepare, to be that people you've created us to be, and then to do that which you've caused and called us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. We all said a great big amen. Amen. God bless. God bless.